Hey, Digby here. How you doing? My voice sounds a little huskier than usual, I think, today because I've had a big cold this week. So let's see if we can get through this solo cast without me coughing and spluttering too much. Bear with me. This topic is called What Survives When People Leave, and it comes off the back of a recent New Zealand government announcement that another 8,700 public service jobs are going to be cut over the next 3 years. And add to that, there's a major AI implementation drive, and the whole thing's aimed to save around $2.4 billion. Now, I'm not here to debate the policy, but what I am interested in is this question that almost nobody seems to be asking in response to it, which is, what happens to institutional knowledge, capability, and culture when that many people walk out the door at once, or over 3 years? There's this assumption, I think, that's sitting underneath this kind of change, and it's worth having a look at. And that assumption is that systems and technology can hold what people currently hold, that you can automate your way through a capability challenge. I don't think so. That relational work of leadership, the judgment calls, the culture shaping, those informal networks that people have built over years, you know, that stuff lives in humans. It doesn't live in a database. And when people leave en masse, it goes with them, unless someone thought about that before it happened. And that's what I want to talk about today. So here's a useful way to think about the leadership required right now. The metaphor is fire. So you can be the fire. You can be the leader who throws themselves at the problem. You can try to provide certainty where there probably isn't any. And the leader who focuses on keeping the old ways of working going with fewer people and higher expectations. And I see this everywhere, just that rat in the wheel sort of leadership. And it leads to burnout, probably faster than you think. So you can be the fire, or you can be the fire tender. And that's the leader who's focused on building capability in others, distributing leadership across the team, and making the whole system more resilient. You're not the hero who saves the day, but you're the host who creates the conditions for others to step up and step in. I reckon 18 months from now, the teams that are still functioning well, they won't be led by fire leaders. They'll be led by the fire tenders. So if you're leading through this, here are three places that you can start. The first one is map where your critical capability actually lives before it leaves. So most leaders assume that important knowledge is in their systems, their documents, their processes, but it's usually not, right? It's in relationships. It's in those judgment calls that never get written down. It's in those informal networks that take years to build. Do you know who the three most important people are in your team, those ones that are really connected? Do you know what would break if they left in the next month? Second thing you can do, invest your remaining development energy in the people who will carry things forward. So in a restructure, development budgets get cut really fast and leaders go into operational survival mode. I can understand that and I get it. Yeah. But the people who are staying are about to carry a much heavier load with less support around them. They need investment now, not when things settle down, because you know what? Things might not settle down for a little while. And the third thing you can do is build the systems now that'll keep you going and keep things going when people leave. And here's a test for this. Which of your team's ways of working would survive if you stepped out for 3 months? And the ones that wouldn't are your dependencies. So focus on embedding approaches that don't have a single point of failure. For example, maybe you could have a decision-making protocol where two or three people can make a call, not just you. Now, that kind of thing. The organizations that are going to come out of this period stronger won't necessarily be the ones who have adopted AI fast. They're going to be the ones whose leaders have built the capability that survived the transition. And that's a choice that starts now. So here's a question to sit with. What's one thing in your team or organization that only works because of a specific person or two? And what's one step you could take this week to start changing that? Digby Scott. This is Dig Deeper. Go well.